I'm going to read with me tonight. Turn to Exodus chapter 30. I'm gonna try to learn y'all something tonight. Amen. God instructed Moses. This is when he's on the mountaintop with God. And he's instructing him in the way to build the tabernacle and the furniture of the tabernacle. There's seven pieces of furniture. And he goes into detail in this chapter concerning the altar of incense. He said, thou shalt make an altar to burn incense of shittim wood, thou shalt make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. Excuse me. The horns thereof shall be of the same. Now he is telling him here how to build the altar of incense. And as you go on in this chapter, he talks about verse 8, and when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Now, notice verse 9, you shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offerings, neither shall you pour drink offerings thereon. He's making instructions. Actually, if you read the whole chapter, they are to burn incense to the Lord twice a day. They are to light it in the morning, and they are to light it in the evening. This was not an ordinary incense. You can go to different places in town right now, and you can buy incense. But now that's not what it was. The Bible tells us in chapter 37 of Exodus that this incense was mixed with different spices. And it says, basically, it uses the word apothecary here. How many of you know what an apothecary is? It's a pharmacist, okay? So the concept of this incense was that it was a very special mixture. And they were not to offer any strange incense. They were only to offer the incense that God had approved for them to offer. And it was mixed up by Moses and Aaron in a very special way, like they would do at a drugstore. This is the concept behind it. And then the incense was offered on the altar by fire. Now, if you know anything about incense at all, you know that you have to light it. You have to set it on fire in order to make it release its fragrance, don't you? It's the fire that releases the fragrance. We do have a record in Leviticus 10 that two of the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, offered, the Bible says, strange fire. strange fire before God. And God was angry with them. And the Bible said there came out a fire from God and killed them. And they died before the altar of God. And Moses got some people to come in and carry their bodies outside the camp and bury them. And Moses told them, listen, when you go in to offer the offerings of the Lord, you don't need to be drinking anything. No wine, no strong drink when you go before the Lord. Now he's trying to tell us something. The concept that we usually have of this problem when we read it about the strange fire that they offered. From what I understand of what I have read and learned of this, the strange fire, we do not know. I mean, there's really no true answer to this situation. But evidently, from what I can read and what I think I understand of it, is that I don't know whether they got the fire from the tabernacle or not. I don't know that. The Bible says a strange fire. But when you take into account what the Scripture says, you shall offer no strange incense thereof. From what I understand of the incense, it was something that Moses and Aaron were in charge of. And perhaps when these brethren came to offer this unto God, perhaps, and this is just a guess, but perhaps they couldn't find Moses or Aaron, and they decided to go ahead and just offer any kind of incense with the fire. Now, it could be either way. It could be that they didn't go and get the fire from the altar, or it could be that they, which doesn't seem reasonable to me because it was right there with them, and it burned all the time. But it does seem reasonable that they just brought it upon themselves that any incense was as good as what God told them. And it, to me, it looks like that they offered the strange incense. I mean, this scripture talks about it. You will not offer any strange incense upon the altar. And he also warned them, it's not for burnt offerings. It's not for wave offerings. It's not for any other kind, drink offerings. It is simply a place of offering the incense unto God that God has provided. Now, what we're looking at tonight is whenever you set incense on fire, if you watch the smoke, smoke follows the rule of other smokes. Amen? And when you set something on fire, the smoke just doesn't lay around on the ground. It ascends because it is hot. And something that is hot and gaseous is lighter than air, and so it ascends upward. And so when you set incense on fire, you will see that you see the smoke as it ascends to the top of the room or outside the room or wherever it's going. And I've burned a lot of things in my time, trash and so on like that. And if you back off a ways and look at it, the smoke will rise for a long time. And then it will level off when it gets fairly high in the atmosphere. The other day, I was driving, and I saw, we were coming back from Tupelo, And I told my wife, I said, there's a really big fire up here on our left. And it was very close to where when you first, on your first going north on 45 highway, after you pass the chemical plant at Hamilton, you know, the new road goes around it now, doesn't go through Hamilton. There's a, you go just a little ways, and there's a stoplight on that highway, and it tells you slow down. The speed limit there is 65. It tells you slow down to 55 because the light may change before you get there. And you probably, there's a Shell station on your right, and if you turn left, you go into Hamilton. That's where it was at. And for miles before we got there, I could see this smoke ascending. And then after it got up 3,000 or 4,000 feet in the air, the upper level winds caught it and it started blowing sideways. And it just made this kind of curve like that. And the closer we got to it, the bigger it got. And I thought, man, somebody got a real fire going there. And this thing was ascending upward and onward. And it's a type of something. The burning of incense is very much a type of prayer. This was an altar of prayer. There was an altar outside to offer the sacrifices on. There was a table to wash your hands in. The table with mirrors in it that you could wash your hands, the basin. And when you entered into the tabernacle, excuse me, just before you entered into the holiest of holies, there was this altar of incense. An altar is a place to pray. It is a place of drawing near to God. It's a place of beseeching God. And when they lit the incense and it ascended up to God, it was a typology to them that your prayers are like this burning incense. And as you pray, they ascend upward and they ascend to God. Now we understand that God is everywhere. But we also talk about heaven, don't we? We talk about heaven being above us, somewhere where we can't see something. And so it is a typology of our prayers ascending to God. Jacob, when he was on his journey, running away from home, so to speak, go to his brother-in-law's house, his uncle's house, he had a vision from the Lord, and he saw a ladder that went from the earth to heaven, he said. And he saw the angels of God ascending and descending. So the idea and the concept of God being above us comes from this kind of thing, that God is above us. He's farther above us. And when we pray, our prayers ascend like an incense, like the smell of incense. It ascends upward unto God. And what I want to share with you tonight is something that God dealt with me about many years ago. I have shared it a couple of times, but sometimes we need to be reminded of something in our relationship with God. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples had been in the upper room for 10 days, fasting and praying and laying before God. And it says in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, in other words, it was past 6 o'clock in the morning. And actually we know it was 9 o'clock in the morning. It was the third hour, which They divided the night and the day into four categories, each of 3 hours. And at night, they called it the watch, first watch, second watch, third watch, fourth watch. The fourth watch was always from 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning. And so the third hour of the day on our clock would be from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So it was the third hour of the day, early in the morning, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the upper room. And the scripture says that tongues like as of fire sat upon each of them, and they were filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues. Now, the other tongues is different than the unknown tongues that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and he talks about unknown tongues. And he told us when somebody speaks in an unknown tongue, now when they speak outwardly in the congregation, as it was a prophecy, Paul requires that somebody interpret it. Otherwise, nobody is blessed by it. Now, these tongues that came on that day were known tongues. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, you're going to find a list of the tongues that were present on that day, that when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke with known tongues. Now, they were foreign to them. They didn't know those languages, but God invested in them the languages of the Holy Spirit. I have always been amazed at the comparison between what happened in Babylon and what happened at Pentecost. There's a tremendous difference there, isn't there? Man was trying to build an altar that reached into the heavens. And the idea was, we can get into heaven without God. They had the idea, if they built that thing high enough, that they could get into heaven without God's permission. They could just get there. And so they built the Tower of Babel. And the Bible says that in the midst of their trying to do this, which we know they couldn't have done it, but they didn't know that. And the Bible says God confounded the languages. And these people began to speak to each other, and they thought, what are you saying? Have you ever heard somebody that's Chinese talk? I don't understand the first thing they say. Now, when I hear a Swede talk, I've been around them enough, I pick up a little bit. The Norwegians and the Swedes and the Nordic language, I pick it up a little bit. When somebody talks in Spanish, I pick up a few words. But when we get into the Eastern languages, I don't pick up a thing. I absolutely haven't. I only know a very few Chinese words. Ichi ni san si go roku hichi hachikuju. That, my friend, is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. My wife taught me that a long time ago. I might not have pronounced it exactly like she would, but that's basically what I learned, okay? That's all I know. And I don't think I'd understand it if somebody else said it, you know? But at Pentecost, God reversed what he had done at Babylon. He made a language that every man could understand. Praise God. Because God has literally sent us to the whole world, hasn't He? And God makes a way through which we can reach out with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, what I'm going to deal with tonight, Paul, in his ministry, and Jude, in his writings, mention several times the concept of praying in the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, likewise, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. In other words, our troubles. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now he's talking to Christians who love God. He says, you don't really know how to pray like you need to. But the Holy Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen? Paul is saying, you need to be praying according to the will of God. Well, Brother Potter, I don't know the will of God, but the Spirit does. And Paul said, if you want to pray according to the will of God, you must pray in the Holy Spirit. Again, in the book of Ephesians, in the 6th chapter and the 18th verse, praying always with some prayer in the Holy Spirit. Did I misquote that? What's the word there? A-double-L. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto. In other words, you need to do this with perseverance and supplication. In other words, praying for all the saints in the Spirit. In the book of Jude, now there's only one chapter in Jude, and it is verse 20. Excuse me. I didn't mark this one. But ye beloved, building up yourselves. Now, this means edifying. Edifying yourself on your most holy faith. In other words, this is the way you build up your faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You want to build your faith? Learn to pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, what we're going to be dealing with here for the next few minutes, there is this lesson that we have tonight, Exodus 30, where we come before God and we offer unto God a very special incense. Now, let's look at the incense first. Any incense is not good enough. I'm going to share with you what this is talking about as it relates to you and I spiritually. Any incense is not good enough. Nadab and Abihu found out the hard way. Any incense is not good enough. Incense is a type of prayer. Any prayer is not good enough. It has to have that special mixture approved of God. It has to be something that brings a sweet savor to the nostrils of God. And there is nothing sweeter to God spiritually than when you come before God and you begin to pray according to the will of God with the fire of God. If you're praying in the Spirit, you are praying with the fire. And as you come before God in that spiritual altar that God has ordained for you, when you offer unto God the prayer according to His will, and you offer it in the Holy Spirit, it ascends directly to God. And He begins to work on it. Amen. As we grow spiritually, now I know you can look at me tonight and say, Brother Potter, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you. What does this mean? That we must worship God in spirit and in truth. As we grow spiritually, we will eventually come to a place where we discern between our spirit and our soul. Hebrews 4, the scripture says, the word of God is sharp and powerful, it's quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. Most people cannot tell the difference between their soul and their spirit. There was a time, there was an event in my life, years ago, when I had that black van, which most of you don't even remember, it was in the 70s sometime. And one day, we had just moved out to New Hope. We were living in a double-wide trailer out there. And so it must have been either the latter 70s or early 80s at the latest. But I was disturbed that evening. I just couldn't find peace somehow. My spirit was disturbed. I didn't know what it was, but I was disturbed. And I couldn't go to bed. I couldn't go to sleep. I got up. And I went out in the front room and I began to pray. I walked and prayed. I sat and prayed. I laid and prayed. I got every position you can get into for prayer. I tried it all. And nothing seemed to work. And so I got frustrated. And all I could think of was, I need to drive around. I haven't tried driving and praying. So I got in my truck and or van, and I start driving around Columbus 3 o'clock in the morning praying. And I remember I was just driving incoherently. There was no There was no special place I was going. I was just driving. And as I was on 45 in front of the mall going south, right where the expressway is now. They were working on it back then, but they hadn't finished it. They were working on the bridge that goes over 45 at this time. I had just driven under that bridge when the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He shocked me. He said to me, I want you to see the difference between your spirit and your soul. And the only way I can describe it was that instantly it was like God drew a line from the top of my head right down through the middle of my body. And on one side, I could see my spirit, and on the other side, I could see my soul. And it was my soul. It wasn't my spirit. It was my soul that was troubled. I thought it was my spirit, but it wasn't. There were just some situations, there were just some things going on that I just didn't know how to deal with. And because I didn't know how to deal with them, they were frustrating me. I didn't know where to go with it. I just didn't know the direction I was supposed to go. But at the same moment that the Lord spoke to me, I saw the difference between my spirit and my soul. And I realized I could actually see my spirit. And it was kneeling before God and worshiping. And it was at perfect peace. It was not troubled. It was not bothered. And the thought went through my mind instantly. My spirit is before God right now. And if there was something that was going to be harmful to me, my spirit would know it. And what I came to the conclusion that why I was troubled, it was because my mind was trying to find the answer, not my spirit. And from that day on, it is not a problem for me to discern between my soul and my spirit. And the Lord began to deal with me that I should teach this to people. Because there is a tremendous difference between what your soul wants and the things that it desires and the things that God desires. I've heard people go before God and pray very selfish, self-centered prayers. There was a song out many years ago. Some of you might remember it. Oh, Lord, please give me a Mercedes Benz. And you remember that one? A country song. Some of you do. A lady from Hee Haw sang it. What was her name? Can't remember it now. Yeah, Lily, was it, that's her name? Lilith, okay. And I remember hearing it. Lord, please give me a Mercedes Benz. Please, Lord, give me a brand new TV. Lord, please give me this. Please give me that. Please give me the other, you know? That's not what prayer is. It is not telling God what you would be happy with in life. Prayer, if it will ascend to God, must include two ingredients. Number one, the right incense. And that is the incense of knowing what the Spirit wants. And of course, it is by the Spirit that it is offered up to God. So the Spirit is the fire that causes that smell to come into the presence of God. Now, I hope I'm not going over your head tonight. I hope I'm not trying to teach you something that you can't understand. But I will tell you that if you will seek God, if you will grow in the Spirit, and I'm going to tell you something, nobody I have ever known that did not seek God on a regular basis has ever grown spiritually. You may grow in your mind. You may think you know everything. But there is a vast difference between what you think and what is a reality in your spirit. And when you start developing in your spirit and growing in your spirit, you're going to find out that there are things that you believed about the Bible that you got wrong, that you interpreted the wrong way. And God's going to show you what the right thing is. He's going to show you what the truth is. And you're going to learn in your relationship with God that when you come before God in prayer, which you should do every single day. And they told him in the Old Testament, offer the incense in the morning and in the evening. And I'm thinking God may want us to pray in the morning and in the evening. Praise God. Amen. Some of you have a hard time just praying once a day anyway. But work it out with God. Work it out with God. Find out what He wants from you. And remember that one of the most important things in your relationship with God is prayer. It is prayer. It is spending quality time before God. It is spending time in the Spirit. I've tried to tell you in the last couple of services about the Spirit and about the anointing of the Spirit. How that we come before God with that anointing. And the way that you do it is when you have to turn some things off. Turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off the kids, turn off whatever will distract you. Turn it off. And if you can't do that except in the morning, do it in the morning. If you can't do it until the evening, do it in the evening. If you can't do it until the midday, do it in the midday. But find that time to come before the Lord and turn off your mind. Your mind will tell you, no, wait a minute, you're wasting a lot of time here. Oh, there's probably a program on tonight you want to watch. You've been waiting for a year to watch this program, and now it's coming on tonight. So what? Tape it. If you want to watch it that bad, tape it. Okay? Turn your mind off. It will tell you, you need to be cleaning, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that. There's a thousand things you need to be doing. Anything but praying. Anything but seeking God. Do you want to see the power of God in your life? Pray.
Pray earnestly. Pray in the Spirit. Pray according to the will of God. And the fire on that altar will bring that sweet savor to the very presence of God. Very often when I come into prayer, the first thing I do is to quiet everything around me. Make it quiet. I even close the blinds in the room I'm in. I don't want to see anything outside. I don't want anything to distract me. I find my place of prayer. And most of the time, I sit and pray. My knees won't take the weight anymore when I get on them, okay? So, the Lord made a better place. Amen. So I sit down. And I get myself comfortable. Usually, I take a little throw blanket across my legs because they get cold very easily. So I don't want that to distract me. I will do anything to remove distraction. If the TV is on in the other room, I close the door that goes out there. I can't hear it. And my wife is kind enough to turn the TV down when she's watching it. But I will sit there and I will begin to meditate upon the presence of God. And usually it's not but just maybe 4 or 5 minutes, something like that. The first thing I always say is, God, I love you and I'm here. Amen. I'm here. I'm in my place. I'm in the place that you want me to be. I'm doing what you want me to do. And sometimes I'll raise my hands. Sometimes I'll just focus on God. I'll praise Him. I'll thank Him. I'll worship. I'll just worship Him. And it won't be but just a few moments until all of a sudden I am aware. I am not alone. I will be aware. Somebody. You ever get the feeling somebody's behind you, beside you? You can't see them, but you know they're there. It's that same awareness. And usually when that happens, the Holy Spirit will drop something in my spirit that makes my spirit literally leap within me. It'll be a scripture. It'll be a word. It will be, the other day, the Lord moved on my heart to pick up a book that I had. I hadn't looked at it. I just picked it up. And I read 2 or 3 words. And as soon as I read them, boom, it was just like that. And I thought, oh my God. This is beautiful. And as I sat there, I began to write the things that God was saying to me. Hallelujah. And sometimes I will write for hours. I mean, I lose all track of time in the presence of God. I lose it. The other night, I was out front. I was praying. I was just in the presence of God. And as I was writing, it must have been 10 o'clock when I walked out there. And I thought, it's only been a few minutes. I walked into the, I don't have anything time-wise in the front room. I don't even want a clock in there. And I walked out and looked at the clock on the oven. It said 11:30. I said, wow. I've been here a lot longer than I thought I was, praise God. But I lost all track of time. It just disappeared. In the presence of God, you will lose an awareness of time. I know people who get down beside their bed, they got their clock right beside them, they're going to pray an hour. And every few minutes they look at the clock, wow, it ain't been but 5 minutes. I thought I'd been here 30 minutes, but it ain't been but 5 minutes. And they'll go on like that, and they'll suffer, and they'll suffer through it, and they'll try to think things to pray. They'll try to find something to talk to God about. And they'll struggle to fulfill that hour. That, my friend, is strange incense and strange fire. Amen. I mean, God may give you a plus on it just for trying. I don't know, but you're trying anyway. But if you really want to be in the presence of God, it's not about what you say to God. It's about what God says to you. We think in prayer we're supposed to do all the talking. That's not true. Now, there are times when the burden of the Lord will fall upon you. It will fall upon your spirit. You will be troubled in your spirit, and you will know the difference. It's not your mind, it's your spirit. Most of the time, there'll be no reason for you to be troubled. It will just come to you when you're praying. And there won't be a natural reason to be troubled. But yet you sense a troubledness within you. And as you begin to press into the Spirit, God will lay His burden upon you, and He will direct you to what you should pray for. And as you begin to pray about it, there will be a moment. Let me tell you something. This is one of the greatest things. When God lays a burden on your heart, I want to use an example in this to share with you what happened. Years ago, it was early in the morning. We were watching a television program. It was a Christian television program. And this guy was one of these word of faith preachers that if you got a scripture, God has to do it for you. That's what he was preaching. And he was telling these people in the wheelchairs, act out your faith. Get up on them wheelchairs and walk. There was several people on the platform, and every one of them struggled to get to their feet. And when they started to take a step, they fell to the floor. And they crawled across the stage in faith. And while I was watching that, my spirit was troubled. I knew it was my spirit. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you have seen the real, and this is not it. I just reached over and turned that guy off, and I never watched him again, never. But I walked into my bedroom. This burden fell upon me. And it was the burden of the Lord, not mine. And I went into my bedroom and I fell across the bed. Troubled deep within. And I wept before God. I said, God, I want to know you. I want to know the truth. No matter what it cost, I want to know the truth. And I finally said to God, if all I can say, if all that I can say from the pulpit is God, I know God loves you and God died for you. That's all I'll ever say. If I only know that's the truth. But God, I want to know the truth. Whatever it costs me, I want to know it. Several days I stayed in that bedroom, fasting, praying the same prayer again and again and again and again. Isn't that what Elijah did? When he knew it was the will of God to send the rain, he knelt and he prayed, and he sent his servant to the mountaintop. Go up there and see if you see any clouds coming. First time, the man came back and said, I don't see any clouds. Second time he went, he come back, I don't see any clouds. Third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time. Elijah prayed the same prayer, and his servant didn't see anything. But on the seventh time he prayed, that servant went to the mountaintop and ran back down and said, well, don't be disappointed. It's a cloud the size of a man's hand. Ooh, glory. Praise God. All you need is one cloud. That's what the prophet knew. And he said, we better get out of here because it's fixing to pour. Amen. And before they could even get to town, the rain came so heavy that the chariots mired up in their wheels as they were trying to get back to town. But Elijah ran into town all by himself in the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. But I'm just telling you, when that burden comes from God and there's something that he wants you to touch him about, it's the same thing. You can't get away from it. You can't go anywhere else. You'll be focused on that one thing. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed day after day. And I believe it was the third day. I'm not sure, but I believe it was the third day. I went back into the bedroom, threw myself across the bed again, face down on the mattress, and began to pray. And as I prayed the same prayer I had prayed 100 times before, all of a sudden my spirit lifted. The burden was gone. And I arose from there, and I knew, instantly I knew God was going to answer that prayer. A few days later, I was invited to go to Brother Smith's church in St. Louis. And I hadn't been there, but just a few hours. One day. On the second day that I was there, Monday, I preached Sunday, and I was going to preach Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I think it was. Maybe through Friday, I guess it was. But as I went to prayer, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit asked me a question. What one thing did the three temptations of Jesus have in common? So I got up, I got my Bible, I was laying across the bed. I got my Bible, I went over to the desk, and I sat down, I read it over again, Luke 4. And I said, God, I don't know. You have to tell me. All I know is Jesus was there and the devil was there, and that's the only connection I can see between the three. And the Lord just all of a sudden dropped in my heart these words. It was a temptation for Jesus to act in himself and not to respond in the Holy Spirit. When he said that, my soul, my spirit was set on fire. And the rest of the day I spent writing. And the next day, I spent the whole day writing. All the way through Friday, I spent the length of every day writing. what God was initiating in my spirit. Then I got on the plane on Saturday and came home. And I was thinking, man, God, that was great. That was wonderful. But as soon as I got home, it started again. As soon as I got off that plane and come to the house, we hadn't finished our living room yet. There was no heat in there, or there was no cold in there except when the weather was hot and cold. And I would go in that front room, and I would go there early in the morning, and I would start writing and praying and writing and praying. And it would be 8 to 12, sometimes 16 hours, I would be in that room writing and praying. And I literally filled notebooks, big notebooks, not like this, big ones, 180-some page notebooks. I filled them with writings. I had ballpoint pens that ran out of ink while I was writing. And when it finally ended, I started counting the days from the time God first spoke to me until the time it ended. And it was exactly 40 days. Exactly. And I looked at those things and I said, God, I thank you for giving them to me, but I don't understand half of what you told me. And so I began to spend a great deal of time going back over the notes and reading what the Lord had spoken to me. And what happened on that day, or in those days, has become the foundation stone of what I have ministered from that day till now. I have told you things you'll never find written anywhere else. I have told you things that most ministers do not understand. I have shared with you things that came directly from heaven about the walk with God, about the Spirit of God, about the temptations that we face in life. And I'll be truthful with you, I still haven't shared it all with you. Amen. I must have some time left. Amen. Now, I know this is not like the fiery sermon I preached last Sunday night. I understand that. But the Lord just put it on my heart to share this with you tonight, to share it, to slow it down a little bit and to share it with you. That at least you might have a smidgen of understanding about what I'm talking about. And the thing that would bless me the most is for you to come in here and say, Brother Potter, it happened to me. I know what you're talking about. That is my prayer. That is my dream for you. For you to come into the truth of God and to know it's the truth of God. And to know it, not because I shared it here, but because God shared it with you here. Now, I've used these examples tonight to try to show you how we approach the altar of God. How we come into the presence of God. How we release our spirit so that it's free. And you know it's free. You know it's there. Because when you sense your spirit, you will immediately sense the presence of God. you will have peace, you will have joy. I get amused sometimes when I'm writing, because I can feel my spirit becoming full. And there have been times when I would just lay my books down and I would say, God, please give me just a little break. I need to go for a walk or something. I need to get out and do something. I just need, because I'm so full, I'm about to pop. I'm just so full that if you say anything else to me, I'm going to be one of these people running up and down the Lord, or down the road saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Now, maybe that's what he wants. I don't know. But it's, you come to that point where you say, God, I am just so full. I don't know what to do with it. And like I said this morning, when you meet with people that have needs in their life and you start sharing with them, one of the things that blesses me the most is whenever somebody comes over, they have a need in their life, and all of a sudden I hear things pouring out of my mouth I never thought about. And I hear things being said to them that are directly from the Spirit of God. And they know, they sense something. They sense the anointing in the words. And it ministers to them. Like I said this morning, there's a lot of people running around that tell me, Brother Potter, I sure would like a word from God. It's not a word from God that most of us need. It's a touch. It's a touch. It's to come to that place where that anointing covers you. And where that anointing covers you, you just know that you are in the presence of Almighty God. You know that he loves you, and you know he has a place, and he has a promise he's going to fulfill in your life. Amen? Praise God. I remember, and I'm going to wrap it up now. I remember after I shared several years ago about the thing between my soul and my spirit being divided. And it wasn't a few weeks later that Sister Sherry came in and she said, Brother Potter, it happened to me the other day as I was praying. She said, I know what you're talking about now. And it is a blessing to me. Now, if you're not at that place tonight, what I'm talking about, if you start seeking God regularly, you will. You will come to that place. And the Lord will make a division within you. The Holy Spirit will make a division within you. And you will begin to see your spirit and your soul together. But you will see them separately. And you will know what is of your mind, and you will know what is of the spirit. And you will know how to pray and what to pray about. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Like I said, I hope this has ministered to you tonight. I wish I could share this with everybody, because it could change the lives of multitudes of God's people. It really could, if they would learn this. And I have shared tonight something to you that is worth more than gold. You may not think tonight that what I shared with you is of any value, But to God, it is of worth more value than gold. Let's pray together.
Father, I have shared tonight the things that you have put in my heart. I've shared the experiences that I have had that have brought this resolve to my heart. And my prayer tonight, O God, is for that everyone here would come to know experientially what I'm talking about tonight, and that it would become a reality to their heart, that they might truly know how to offer that fire upon the altar in the spirit of the altar. In Christ we pray. Amen. Praise God. Do you love him tonight? Amen. Is there any special need of prayer tonight that we need to deal with? Praise God. David?
Well, let's pray.
Which one?
Yeah.
All right. Praise God. Father, you see, oh God, the problem in David's life. We come before the altar and we offer it to you tonight. You bring it. Okay, come on. Okay, stop. Father, we lift up before you these unspoken requests, and sometimes, God, they are the deepest troubles in our heart. Hallelujah. Yes, Father. Thank you, God, for standing in the room. Thank you, God. Praise God. John, as I took your hand, I saw in my spirit you were running down a road. And you were tripping over things. And you get back up and you run a little ways and you trip again. And I understood from the Lord that He has chosen a higher way. And he will show you the path to that road. It's a higher road where you will not trip anymore. But wait before it. And he will show you the way. Amen. Thank you, Father. We lay these things upon the altar. Amen. Praise God, Janet. Hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chelsea. Chelsea, my name is Chelsea. She's got a little bit of an infection. My baby's daughter, Chelsea, his father. She's gone with the mask.
Yeah, I thought that was
good. Yeah, if you'll pray with us.
No, let's just lift her up. Father, we lift up. You know her name. There's nobody in this world that you don't know. And not when you bring her before the altar of God,
Do you love him? Do you love him? Amen. There is a special presence of God here. Amen. When I was praying, I know I prayed a different way than you want me to pray, but I saw it in the Spirit. I don't know why I prayed that way. I just saw it. Amen. Praise God. When you're praying, pray what the Spirit tells you to pray. Amen. Yes. Pardon me? Oh, good. Amen. Good. Amen. Sister Potter, come on up here. I want to pray for you. She's been hurting for a long time. And I want you to pray with her. Amen. Just pray with me as we pray together. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lord, this is my chosen. You put her in my life, oh God, because I needed her and she needed me. And I lived, oh God, before you tonight. This pain. We do not know, oh God, where it comes from or why. And we don't need to know, except you.
Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to give you some homework. Your homework is to pray. Pray. Set aside a special time this week. Morning, evening, noon, I don't care. Set aside a little time and do what we talked about tonight. Get alone with God. Shut the world out. Turn it off. And touch God. Amen? And I want you to come back next week and share with me what happened to you. Okay? I want you to come back with a testimony. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we will take testimonies. Now, don't make up something. Amen. If it didn't happen, don't say anything. But whatever the Lord does to you, I want you to share it. It'll tell me something. It'll tell me where you are. Amen. All right. God bless you. Good night. Have a good time. Praise God.